Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And it's changing by the hour, but the positions as we go into the weekend of the three main parties seems to be pretty concrete. Sinn Féin said we'll talk to anyone. Fianna Fáil say we'll talk to anyone. But as I said yesterday, ABSF, anyone but Sinn Féin. And Fine Gael say, from what we can garner from what Heather Humphrey was saying this morning, we're not talking to anyone at the moment, but we're definitely not talking to Sinn Féin. Jonathan Cook, 51551. Jonathan, you're now in the camp saying we need another general election.
Yes, Joe, we definitely do. I think you should leave the posters up because I think we're going to have another election fairly soon. And Sinn Féin should put more candidates out there. And I think they will get more candidates in if they were to go again, because everybody is fed up with the other two parties, Sinn Féin and Fine Gael.
Well, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. They're just all over again. It's the same old record. It's broken. Let's fix it. And we need new blood in there to get the government going.
And you say you've been voting Fianna Fáil all your life.
I've been voting Fianna Fáil all my life because my mother used to canvass for Charlie Haughey. And then he was often in our house. And with all the stuff that's gone on over the last 40 years, and our country needs a new government. That's not the old stuff all the time. Get new blood in there, and let's have a proper government.
And is Ireland not a better place than it was 40 years ago?
In some ways, it definitely is. Yeah,
In what ways is it not?
Well, when you think how good the country might have been if we didn't have all the politicians looking after themselves and not looking after the people.
Okay.
But all the control. Go ahead.
And do you want, it's up to you, do you want to tell me how you voted? Yeah, I know you didn't vote Fianna Fáil, obviously, even though you say you voted Fianna Fáil all your life. Who did you vote for in 2020?
Well, in our area, I gave 1-2-3 to Cian O'Callaghan.
Yeah, who was elected in Dublin Bay North, yeah?
Yeah.
Social Democrat.
Aidan O'Riordan,
Dublin Bay North Labour Party.
Yeah, and then the Sinn Féin candidate.
Denise Mitchell.
Yeah, and then elected all the way down the line with the rest of them. I filled the page in.
So it was
Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael got the last votes from me.
Okay, but you went Labour, Social Democrat and Sinn Féin.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Erica, you voted Sinn Féin also. Erica, good afternoon.
Good evening, Joe. I did vote Sinn Féin. I voted them in this election and I also voted them in the last election. Prior to that, I would have always voted Fianna Fáil. But I just feel extremely let down by Fianna Fáil. I'm a parent of four children with disabilities and I don't think they have done enough at all for children or adults with disabilities in this country or for carers. And I think disability services and supports are in crisis and carers are in crisis. And it doesn't seem to matter how many times we approach them and we try and get that message across. It just seems we're always left bottom of the pile and that we don't matter. And just reading through the manifestos, is there Sinn Féin's manifesto, especially on disability and carers, was by far, in my opinion, the best manifesto, where they wanted to implement real change and not just talk about it or not just looking for outcomes, but looking for sustainable change and to give people with disabilities equal rights we're going to charge on TSOC with responsibility for the delivery of equality of people with disabilities and have them accountable for this, along with dedicated staff driving cross departments national disability strategy and a number of other issues they would have had in it, whether or kind of fix, I suppose, the crisis that is in disability. Because every single day of the week, I'm fighting for services for my children, I'm fighting for their rights to be upheld. And all to the detriment of my own health, because my rights as a carer are not there. And I just think it's about time that everyone in society was looked at, and not just the banks, not just the developers, but the people. I mean, last election, you know, said he was there for the people who got up early in the morning. There's many carers who don't sleep at night at all due to their care responsibilities. We work 24/7, 365 days a year, and we don't get a break.
Say there, Erica, 51551. Claire, good afternoon. First of all, on Jonathan's opening point that we should have another election, what do you think of that?
I don't think so. For the simple reason being, I honestly feel that Sinn Féin run government is not a government that will do. It's okay putting stuff down on paper, but if the sums don't add up at the end of the day, it's not a viable option.
And what do you think the people are saying, that Sinn Féin have to be in a new government configuration?
Well, if they have to be, you know, if you decide to play rugby, you have to play by the rugby rules. If you play hurling, you play by hurling rules. But if you're in government, you're not talking about, you know, something as pitiful or as small as that. It's a bigger option. It's a bigger field out there that you're talking about. And I honestly don't feel that the Sinn Féin candidates have any of the experience in relation to what's there. Yes, we're not all happy with it. They tried and have got some work done, a lot more to be done. But I honestly feel a new government going in with all Sinn Féin, they haven't got the expertise. I couldn't take it on there to start building a wall because I wouldn't have a bull's notion how to do it.
Erica, what do you think of that point? I don't know if your line's anyway improved that. You can promise the sun, moon and stars, but you can promise, well, everyone promises 20,000 extra houses next year, and it looks like that target is going to be hit regardless of if we don't have a new government by then or not, if it's just a caretaker government till next year. But what about Claire's point that, am I summarising your point correctly, Claire, when saying a lot of this is wishful thinking?
Yes, exactly, it is, yeah.
Erica?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with the fact that she said it's wishful thinking. I think Sinn Féin, okay, they've never been in government. I think they most certainly deserve a chance to be. But that doesn't mean they have not been working on the ground or working in their own departments at all. And I think they have some really, really good strategies. I think they are very in touch with the working class people on the ground and the people who are really suffering in this country due to lack of housing, lack of health, disability service, the whole lot. They openly engage and take on board what we're saying. In my opinion, and I've spoken to all the candidates in my area, they were the only ones who actually listened. And actually, there was the Disability Federation of Ireland had a kind of a template that you could send to all candidates in your area, ask them would they fulfil different issues in regards to disability. And I sent that to 12 of the 14 candidates. Two of them weren't announced until afterwards. And I got back 4 replies. 3 of them were literally one paragraph saying, yes, we supported, and a little bit of waffle.
Well, tell us, who were the 4 replies from?
Fianna Fáil, the Green Party, 2 Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. And then the most comprehensive one I got back was actually what they were going to do about every single issue, whether it was housing for disability, lack of school places, independent living, ratifying the optional protocols for the UNCRPD was from Sinn Féin. I got a really, really detailed response that wasn't just copy and paste. And I also got a follow-up phone call from them, asking them what my issues were as a family, as a parent, what the issues that my children were. None of the rest of them picked up the phone to me.
Okay, that's fascinating. Seriously fascinating. And Erica, who phoned you? Was it a volunteer, or was it a TD, or was it the candidate, or... I don't want their name.
No, the candidate for Sinn Féin rang me herself.
Okay. Stefan De Beer. Stefan, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
You're here from 2001 and you say openly I voted Sinn Féin this time. Last time, 2016, Fianna Fáil, 2011, Labour. So how did you move from Labour to Fianna Fáil to Sinn Féin? Or is it a natural progression?
2011, I was so serious about Labour that I actually applied for membership. And then when Pat Rabbit had his famous speech of that was then and this is now, I cut up my card. And I wanted change in 2016. I could see there was a big problem and nobody was listening to us. So I tried to get Fine Gael out at least. That didn't work. And this time I went for Sinn Féin. But then I must admit, I've lent my vote to Sinn Féin. I have not given it to them permanently. If they use it carefully, I'll give it to them again. But if not, then it'll go elsewhere.
So what do they have to do for Sinn Féin to hold on to your vote, Stefan?
I detest waste. If you look at Fine Gael's record, the public services card that cost us billions, uh-huh. This hospital that's cost us billions, the broadband plan that's cost us billions, that's my money. I work extremely hard for my money, and I think everybody else listening to your show today does the same. We all work hard for our money, and the government we elect is the guarantor of, or the guardians of our taxes. And, you know, they sit down on a serviette and design a hospital and say, right, how much will that cost? Oh, 400 million, and off they go. And then afterwards, Leo Varadkar sits back and says, oh, we made a mistake there. I mean, you know, they're wasting our money. They really and truly are. I want somebody that will come in that will look after...
Yeah, but surely in every... And just trying to be devil's advocate here, Stefan, but surely in every democracy there will be projects that overrun. Look at HS2 in the UK, this incredible new railway infrastructure, the spine of the country, as Boris Johnson called it the other day. It's already something like 3 billion overrun and hasn't even been finished by a long shot at this stage. Is it not the nature of big projects that they do overrun in the world we live in? And when you say that billions on broadband, we haven't spent a billion on broadband yet. It hasn't been delivered. Yeah, no, but it hasn't been delivered. So we haven't wasted billions on it yet, if that's what happens.
They've signed the contract and it's going ahead. Hmm. But if you just look, we had this public services card, which they're now fighting in the courts because it's illegal. And I mean, yesterday or the day before, they admitted that they take facial recognition technology into that thing. So, you know, there are times when projects overrun. That's a fact. But you can't start with 4 million and go to 2 billion. And I'm willing to take anyone a bet today that the hospital is not going to finish at 2 billion. That one will finish closer to 4 billion. That is a waste of money.
Yeah, but it never started at 4 million.
400 million, I mean. 400 million, okay. 400 million, yeah.
But look at even the refurbishment of Big Ben. They discovered 2 days ago, I don't know how it was kept a secret, they discovered that they need another 26 million because there's asbestos at Big Ben and it was damaged in the Second World War. Did no one know that England went through the Blitz? You know what I mean? I'm just saying in every country, I don't know, maybe it's a way of getting the thing started. Stefan, in one phrase, in one sentence, are you saying I voted Sinn Féin because I wanted change? It's a protest vote.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I loaned my vote to Sinn Féin.
I loaned my vote to Sinn Féin. It's a protest vote.
Okay.
I would like to see a new government in that has a left and a right leaning side to it. If you're going to put Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in together, I think that's the worst thing for this country ever.
What about a Fianna Fáil? Just simply cut and paste, to use Erica's phrase, which Sinn Féin did not do, as she said. But what about a Fianna Fáil just cut and paste the Sinn Féin manifesto, put it into 20 points, or give me a sexy number, 21 points or whatever, and say this is our plan, and they basically robbed Sinn Féin's clothes.
Would you trust Fianna Fáil to do that? I wouldn't trust Fianna Fáil. I wouldn't buy a second car from anybody in Fianna Fáil.
Okay. Claire, what do you think of Stefan's point that it was a protest vote, but I've only lent my vote to Sinn Féin? Would you not have been tempted to do the same?
No, I think that's very unfortunate. To make a decision like that so flippantly, I'm lending my vote and not really knowing what the outcome of that election could be, or that Dáil or that government can be. That's, you know, that's like people not knowing when they were questioned, how will Brexit affect you? And, oh, no, that's no concern of mine. But that is a concern to everybody. It's not just the people that are directly involved in negotiations or anything else. It affects everybody from the sweets on the sweet counter to everything
across
the board.
But, Claire, we have to give a lot of substance to what Erica is saying. that when she wrote to the political parties asking for their position on, in her case, it was a disability, that she got a half-hearted reply from most, if at all, from most parties. Mm-hmm. But the most detailed reply she got was from Sinn Féin, followed up with a phone call from the candidate.
Yeah, well, do you what you've got to get into?
Oh, that's not fair.
You know, and I don't mean, like, the money, if the money is there, it should be used. And all of these services, I'm not saying for 1 minute, all of these services have to be looked after. All these people, all these carers, all the children, all the families that are all hurting every day because they haven't got what they deserve. And I would have to say what they deserve. But if the money isn't there, I can't honestly see where Sinn Féin are going to get the purse to do all of the things they're saying that they can do. You know, we can all say we'll do this, that and the other, but at the end of the day, we can't do it if we haven't got the money.
Erica?
Yeah, I don't believe that we don't have the money. I think we're a very wealthy country. I think what's happening is that there is an awful lot of wasteful spending. There's an awful lot of mismanagement of money. And I think it's going to take a party to go in there and siphon through all that waste and stop it and redirect the money to the services that need to be funded and to the frontline services that need to be funded. So I don't believe that the money is not there. And I've spoken to TDs before at different meetings and stuff where they have said it's not a money issue. But the will is not there. The will is not there from Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael to implement meaningful change. And we have seen that time and time again because they're hearing the same stories from other parents that I am talking about now and they are not doing anything about it. At all, in any way, shape or form. Because if they really wanted to implement change and they really cared about everyone in our society, they would have started to implement change now and we would be feeling it. We would be feel that we were supported. We would feel that we were listened to and our young people and our adults with disabilities would have equal rights. But as it stands, they don't. And there are too many children with disabilities being failed by the system day in and day out, whether it's through services, lack of appropriate school places, and lack. Once they turn 18, they fall off a cliff. I have a son who's 18. He's due to start an adult service next year. But Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have axed the transport back in 2013 to get these young people to their day services. I live in a rural area. There is no rural transport. I can't even get a tenfold nine to my home. And even if we had the Lewis at our door, he's too vulnerable to travel independently. So now I have the prospect of next year driving him 42 kilometres to his day service in the morning and 42 kilometres home. I have three other children, four in total, all in different schools. Mm-hmm. With the greatest will in the world, I cannot be everywhere. But the government don't seem to care, so I can find a really good day service that I feel is going to meet his needs. And more importantly, it's where he wants to go. He knows the people there. But at the same time, I'm going to absolutely be run ragged trying to get him there. I've already suffered carers burnout. I do not want to go back there. It was a horrendous place to be, a really frightening place to be.
But you say in your call, Erica, I'm a mother of four children, and each of whom has disabilities.
Yeah.
That's... And surely, even with that sentence, you immediately attract support and help from the state, no?
No, you don't. That's the thing, you don't. It took me... about 2.5 years ago, I reached a really bad point in my life where I suffered really bad burnout. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what carers burnout was before that. It was a horrendous place to be. Just horrendous. Yeah. It took me getting to that point for us to get home support hours for our family. And as it stands, I'm constantly being reviewed those home support hours, which are 8 hours a week. And I only get them in regard to two of my children. So those 8 hours a week, I'm constantly being reviewed on them and they constantly try to take them, where I have to then submit appeals, ring different disability managers, go into their offices, sit in front of them, explain why I can't do without those hours. Those hours are what keep my head above water. It's what keeps me off, like I was on antidepressants, it keeps me off antidepressants, it keeps me being able to function and being able to care. I don't want to just be a carer because first and foremost, I'm a mother and I don't want my children feeling like, well, she's my carer. I'm their mother, but I have to take on all these other roles. And because of the lack of services, I've had to become a psychologist, a speech and language therapist, a physiotherapist. You're expected to be all of these things in one. This is a lot for anybody. It's too much. and it takes its toll. And it's taken its toll on mothers and fathers right across this country, and nobody seems to be listening to us.
And you're saying, is it that you live, you say you'll have to travel 40 miles for one of your children?
Yeah, where we're living at the moment, my son had no school place in this area. We had to, the one school that was there, he had to remove from. So we had to go to the next county, because when it comes to special schools, you don't have a choice. There's one or there's none, and then after that, you have to go outside the county. So it wouldn't be unusual for some children to go to a school in a, outside of their own county or vast kilometres away from their own home, which is wrong. But that's where he goes. That's where he's known. He attends Special Olympics in that county.
Yeah.
I've looked at all the day services in my own area.
Yeah.
Because I suppose my eldest son has regressed in a lot of areas, the service we found where he himself wants to go is the one service who can meet his needs into the future. The last thing I want is to have him in a day service where if he regresses, they cannot meet his needs and we have to go to the whole thing of applying for funding to change him to a different day service or where he'll have no service. So the service he will be going to is 42 kilometres away. His special school at the moment is literally just behind that. So he's travelling that every day now, but because he's in a special school, he gets transport.
Okay.
Because it's in the next county, it's a concessionary ticket. It's only €100 a year. I gladly pay it. It costs me more to drive him. It collects him at the gate. It drops him home to the gate. It has given him great independence. The school, once he went there, really did change his life around. But once you turn 18 and you're no longer in school, you no longer get the transport. There used to be a motorised transport grant. That was taken away and nothing ever replaced it. So now you have where families have to travel to bring their young people to a day service. Some day services may offer transport. It's extremely hard to get them because they don't have enough and they can't fund it. And if they do, often when it doesn't come out to our area anyway, so it wouldn't apply to us, but for other families, it may come out, but then you have to cut your funding. So you either start your day service later or you finish it early because you're kind of swapping one for the other. You're giving up some of your service in order to get your transport. Which it should never be one or the other. Should never be that.
Let me bring in Pat McLean. Pat, go ahead.
Hi, Joe.
Your point, please.
Joe, I'm part of the 75% that didn't vote for Sinn Féin. I voted for different parties in different elections. I am a community activist and I believe in a fair deal society.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I do not see the Sinn Féin manifesto and their costings for doing work and improving the country as realistic. They haven't said, for example, how are they going to reform the health service. The health service is not great. It could do with a lot of improvement, but they haven't said how. With housing, there's about 20,000 houses being built this year. How are they going to build 100,000 in 2 or 3 years? That's
ridiculous.
Well,
it's over 5 years, isn't it? It's over a longer period.
But it's just not attainable. And who's going to fund all this? Where does it come from, the money? At the bottom of the line is somebody has to pay for every service. And I don't see how the Sinn Féin programme for government can work. And that's the problem. Credibility. It's all about credibility and confidence in what they're capable of providing.
Well, people, a significant section of our population, like Erica, you've had so many examples from so many different backgrounds and age groups and perspectives and geography saying they voted Sinn Féin this time because of their manifesto, because of Mary Lou, which was a major feature in her ability, her communication skills and her the way she handled herself in the debates, the way she came across as such a caring person. That was... Pat, Sinn Féin had a lot going for them, whether you like it or not.
I have no problem with the aspirations of Sinn Féin, but it's a question of delivery and what it's going to cost the country to deliver. And I do not believe that Sinn Féin have that credibility. Like, for example, every individual that she proposes for whatever job she's going to give in ministry, etc., I would like to know how qualified they are to deliver that particular portfolio. We haven't heard anything like that.
Well, you can ask that about any politician.
Yes, we can.
That's fine. You're entitled to ask it.
But we need answers to questions like this. A programme for government is one thing. And we've had politicians down through the years, promises and promises and promises. And I am very amused to think that 4 weeks ago, suddenly they've all come out of the woodwork and they have solutions for everything.
Yeah.
I don't believe this stuff.
Okay, let's Stefan, do you want to come in there about promises?
I don't firmly believe that we should put Sinn Féin in alone. I think we would just be making trouble for ourselves again. We should have a right, left-leaning government in the next time. And let them... The one will check the other one. When Fianna Fáil wants to start spending money, Sinn Féin will check them, and vice versa. I believe that is the best thing for this country. I don't believe that the Sinn Féin voters in this country bumped it up to such a high quantity. Mm-hmm. So many other people like myself gave our votes to Sinn Féin for the reason we want change. Who else do we go to? There's nobody else. Fine Gael is a loss. Fianna Fáil is a loss. So who else do we go to?
Okay. Back after this. 51551.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie. Easily compare mortgage rates for first-time buyers, movers and switchers. It's easy, it's free, it's bonkers.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Our opening caller today said bring on another election. Maurice O'Sullivan.
Joe, how are you doing? Yeah, I think we should go for another election because obviously the two parties that have been in power over the last 20 years won't listen to the people because they've been telling us what to do over those years. There's two things happened in my view as a working class man in Dublin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leo pulled a fast election thinking he could wipe out Roy because he put party before country.
Well, his numbers, his majority had...
Gone.
His working majority had gone.
There was a vote coming up in confidence in his Minister of Health. Mm-hmm. So rather than show him the door, he said, right, I'll go to the country. Bad mistake. Fianna Fáil come in, right, and they do sort of okay. Now what they're saying is, Micheál Martin, in my opinion, doesn't want to be the only Fianna Fáil leader who never came to power as Taoiseach. And he will put himself and his party before the people and the country. Mary Lou MacDonald came out. She was excluded. I've never voted Sinn Féin before in my life because I'm an ex-Irish Army soldier and all history that goes with that. But I sat my wife down and I sat my two sons down and I said, this is why I'm going to vote Sinn Féin. And I explained to them. I said, when I was a child, my mother brought me to the boat and she got me to wave off my older brothers and sisters who had to go to England because of what was going on in this country. Now they're dead and buried in England. History repeated itself. I waved my daughter off 4 years ago, and now my grandchildren are being waved in England. I want my grandchildren back. And if they can turn this country around and give us... And one of the things that saddens me about this country is, Joe, and what they've done to it, the children of this country are the future of this country, and they're up to their necks in debt before they even start working with the 200 billion bailouts. And that's what's hurting me. So if Mary Lou MacDonald can come out and say to the people of Ireland, from all walks of life, give me a chance, put me in, give me a chance. So what I'd say to them is, if they don't want to go into government with you and deny people our constitutional right of choosing who you want to govern for us, go back to the drawing board, get 90 candidates, get a majority, get in for 5 years and prove to us that you can do it. And if you don't, at least you give it a good go. Because she didn't mess it up for anybody over the last 14 to 20 years. And nobody should put their party or their politics or their colleagues before the country.
But the clear mathematically evident statement from Eoin Óibrín today that Sinn Féin cannot get into government without one of the other two big parties, one of the 30 parties, so to speak, the parties that got over 30 seats, Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. So would you be happy with Sinn Féin in government with Fine Gael?
If Sinn Féin got into government with any party and made this country a better place to live and my children can come back, although my sibling brothers and sisters are dead and buried in England, that's the tragedy. And I'm not the only family. They're out there all over the country. My brother was cremated last year and brought back and he's buried with my parents in Barmerstown. All his life over here. You know, so there's missed generations, Joe. And every night on WhatsApp, I'm talking to my grandchildren in England. And it kills you. Because they should be back here. My daughter should have the right to rear her family here. But it didn't happen. And then previous governments turned around and told us they're only leaving because they're abandoners and they want to change the lifestyle. They were driven out because the economy was destroyed. Hmm. And that's the true facts of it.
Okay.
So I think Sinn Féin, go back to the people, get to double the candidates, we'll show them what we think we want, and we'll give you a runner-up because they've messed this country up over the last 20 years. Thanks, Joe.
Okay, Mars Guramila Mahagach. Kevin, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Joe?
Your point, please.
No, everyone's out to be known. That particular gentleman there, he's talking about Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, last 20 years. Sinn Féin voted for the bailout.
The bank guarantee. Now, they did change their mind a couple of weeks later, but they did vote on the night. The Labour Party didn't. But you can argue that everyone was bounced into it because of the lies of the banks. But anyway, keep going, Kevin. I shouldn't be interrupting.
But the banks wasn't our only problem. 60 billion of 200 billion.
Yeah.
So we can go on from there. But you turn around, Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin not proved themselves in the lot.
Yeah, but Kevin, I take your point, but all these points were raised before the election.
Yes, they were. I totally agree with you. But, and all those points were raised, 25% of the people voted for Sinn Féin, but 75% didn't.
Yeah, but 25% did, and it was more than voted for any other individual party.
Yeah, but we've been followed by Gael for the last, I don't know how long. We can't have life like coffee. We can't be instant. It's an ongoing procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And Sinn Féin do not have a magic wand. If they did, they would have the homeless problem in the north south, correct? They would have the pension age of 65.
Well, you know the Sinn Féin argument, they don't control the purse strings up the north, it's controlled by London.
But Sinn Féin won't control the purse strings in the Republic. They'll spend what they can spend.
Well, it's
a law of economics, Joe. If you have €1,000 coming in a week into a house, you can't spend 1,200.
Well, you can if you borrow.
And who pays that?
I know that. Who'll pay that back? Your children and your children's children. You and your children and your children's children.
So where's your pension gone? We have to be realistic. We are speaking about a lady who denied Breach Quinn, a supporter of Conor Murphy of Amunda. And did a reverse on the Tuesday.
But hang on, Kevin. This was all done in the full glare. You can't say that people didn't know this.
Yeah, but typical Irish, short memory, selfishness. I will vote for my candidate in this constituency for no other reason than what he can do for me.
You're saying that's the
That's the Irish mentality, Joe. And we can blame bankers. But if you go to a chip shop every night of the week and eat chips for 3 months and you put on £4, don't blame the chip shop. And we can blame developers. Our postmen became developers. We are speaking about Desi Ellis and you're worried about him singing the Ira songs. Is that the man that's in 10-year in Portage prison for blowing up people?
Well, it wasn't for blowing up people, but it was.
Hang on.
Desi Ellis got 14,500 votes, which is 8,000 more than the next candidate. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I'm deadly serious, Joe. But it's exactly the reason why, what he can do for his constituents.
That's some amount of constituents.
Yeah, we turn around and we talk about Fianna Fáil this and Fianna Fáil that.
Well, look at the tally boxes. I saw them for the tallies for Finglas and Ballymun.
Yeah.
In the middle of last Sunday. Desi Ellis, I think at that stage, had 3,000 votes from those two tallies in Finglas and Ballymun. Fianna Fáil had zero. Yeah. So they had a big campaign as well.
Yeah, but Joe, I'm not to scream the figures. I'm just laying the facts out. Like, his fingerprints was all over bombs. That's what we want representing us in the country.
Well, that's what people voted for.
I know that. I'm just putting the point forward. But then you people say Sinn Féin will do this and Sinn Féin will do that. Don't. Not a hope in hell. What was the first thing Mary MacDonald said and Mary Lou MacDonald said, our presidential address or a last thing, Chucky or Law? What does that mean?
Well, it means our day will come.
Yeah. Yeah, but in Wakefield,
and you know as well as I know, Joe. Yeah, but Kevin, seriously, I'm only trying to be devil's advocate here. Otherwise, the programme just becomes.
And Joe, that's exactly what I'm doing. Sit back and think.
Okay, let me bring Rachel in. Rachel, you're listening to Kevin, among others. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah.
51551, joe@rt.ie.
You know, hi Joe, sorry about this. I'm actually upset listening to that chap there because I think, you know, I'm going to be out straight and really honest here. For years, I'm in my mid-40s. I never voted. I just never seen a point of it. 10 years ago, I had a son. He was extremely premature and through that has a lot of disabilities.
Okay.
And I had a 9-year-old, or a little girl after him, and she has disabilities as well.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, and I love them, they're my world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course
and
they are, yeah.
It was only then that I really started looking at kind of, you know, the future and what the country and all this kind of stuff, because I was probably made look at it because of circumstances. And I have to say, even back then, I had to fight tooth and nail for support for my kids, for support. And I remember back then, even with the boom and stuff, I never felt the boom. And I never felt the kind of, the downturn, say, because I was never benefiting or anything. It was always kind of a level playing field for me in a sense. I never kind of went up or above or beyond. But for my kids, I had to literally, I remember going and I remember actually trying at an office in the Fine Gael TD one day and asking them. I actually remember asking them, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name or not. And I remember saying, I just want to be literally. Just tell me what I do, where I go. I'm not asking you to do it for me. Which way do I go? Yeah. And I am not joking you when I got to tell you. I didn't hear a thing from them. I begged, I wrote, I rang, I went down to their offices. I went to Sinn Féin. And this is going to be truly honest with you. This was my last resort. I went to a Sinn Féin member. And I can tell you now, when I swear to this very day, even just down, I get knocked on the door just to see, how are you and your kids doing? How are things? How are the kids still? Do you know what I mean? It was like I got non-stop support. It was like direction. I got direction that I was looking for. I was like, you know, how do I go about getting this firm? How do I go about getting that firm? Because like the HSE weren't telling me. People that should have been telling me weren't telling me. I was left in limbo.
You say you got direction, you got help, you got, and they helped solve the problem. That was through Sean Crowe's office.
It would have been through his office, but it would have been other representatives. No, and I'm not joking you. It would have been a case of, even if I'd have to go to an appointment or something. I remember going to the appointment. And I remember one of them saying, listen, are you going on your own? And I was saying, yes. She said, do you want me to just go down in the car which has a bit of support for you?
Okay, yeah.
And I was saying, like, this is something you wouldn't get from other parties. Do you know what I mean? And this is what, for me, for the last couple of elections, why I voted Sinn Féin, is because people are talking about looking for change. And Sinn Féin, when there is no elections on, and not just for me, and I've seen it around disabilities, and I've seen it with people that work in the sector, actually explaining to me how much they've been helped and support. And it's not being talked about. It's not being shown. I'm not a whole Ireland thing. It's nothing about the United Ireland. This is about what they're doing on the ground.
They help. They're supporting the practical people. Help. Yeah, well,
exactly. They're helping people. They're supporting people. They're caring, because I have to say, to get a knock on my door, a random knock on my door, when there's no elections on, from a Sinn Féin representative or member to knock on my door and to say, how are you and your kids doing? Is everything okay? Do you know what I mean? And people don't understand when you have kids with disabilities how lonely and isolating it is. And how absolutely some days, like that woman was talking about with that carer's burnout, I ended up in hospital a couple of years ago from it. And they actually thought I had a tumour on the brain because it had affected me so badly. I didn't know what was going on. Do you know the way? And these are the things that happen. But no one else from any other party. And even after that, I went to other parties. And before the selection, I actually approached I wrote letters to other parties to see what their stance on the autism, what's it called? I can't even think of it now. It's like an autism agenda thing.
The spectrum and all the disabilities. Yeah. But Rachel, the difference you're making, just to give people a glimpse, because I think you've given us a fascinating glimpse there, is that all political parties at one time or another were very good in terms of being on the ground and campaigning for people, usually when they're in opposition. But you're saying the difference with Sinn Féin was it was almost like they're a community group, their neighbourhood group. They came around. Not only did they do the macro stuff through Sean Crowe's office or whatever about what's available, what you're entitled to, but they actually came and said to you, almost as a neighbour, Rachel, do you need a hand being getting to the hospital or getting to that appointment?
It was never just. It never seemed like it was just a job. And I actually remember when I did contact them, and this one was, and people don't understand how big these little things are for people like me. I remember ringing them and explaining to them, listen, I have two kids that have, you know, special needs. I might need a bit of extra time. And they were like, don't even dream of coming out of your house. They're saying, we'll go to you. Do you know what I mean? Don't even dream of upsetting your kids. Don't even go there. We'll go to you. And I was like, wow, God. You know, and I'd be honest, Joe, at first I kind of thought, well, maybe it's just a one-off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I have to say, the amount of people that I meet around, like in the circle of like kids with disabilities, parents, you know, people with special needs, it's so rife that the only party that actually does go out and standing on picket lines, standing there protesting, helping and supporting, listening. Just even listening to
you. Okay, Rachel, stay there. I want to bring in Blahi and Stuart Kelly, and I will so after this break. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Blahi and Stuart Kelly, you're listening there from the Nall in County Dublin. Go ahead, Blahi.
Hi, Joe. I sent you in an email. I didn't expect to get a call back. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I wish the electorate would try and remember where we were a decade ago. Okay. When this country was bankrupt and there was no money in the country. And people are disgruntled, and that's understandable. Hospital waiting lists are appalling. Mm-hmm. Homelessness is unacceptable. And the social problems that we're having now seem to be almost on the verge of a lawless society. But a new government with limited finances and no experience is not the answer. They can make all sorts of promises, but they have no experience to manage or sustain these promises. And that's what we want. We want sustainability. Do we want to end up in the situation we were in 10 years ago? And I can understand that the electorate want change. I accept that. Mm-hmm. But we have to have sustainable change that takes time and careful planning. And that's not going to happen with an inexperienced government.
Breed.
Rachel. Go ahead, Breed, Rachel.
Can I ask? Blahi, you're talking about Blahi. I apologise. You're talking the sustainability in 10 years ago. I can tell you now, 10 years ago, my son and my daughter, to 10 years now, there's not much difference. There's not much more. I can actually guarantee you the support for them is actually worse than it is 10 years ago. 10 times worse. Can I just respond to you for 1 second? You're talking about sustainability. They're not qualified to do this. They're not qualified to do that. The Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil putting up their hands now, this is nothing about the country. This is all about their egos being in because people haven't voted for them. That's what this is about. This isn't about the people. And I get what you're saying, like, okay, we came back from the brink of whatever. But they put us there. Them and the banks put us there.
Well, Fine Gael
Fine Gael put us there, okay? Too right, they should have brought us back out of it. All right. But they shouldn't have put us and put the people, like my mum and dad have worked all their lives, they're good people. They've worked every single day of their lives. And they've given us good home, they've provided for us good. They can't even retire properly. Do you know what I mean? They're still working and still having to scrimp and save because of being tax cuts and pension ages being pushed. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Okay, let Blahin reply, Rachel. Go ahead, Blahin.
Sorry, Rachel. I think that the Fine Gael government have done a good job. Unfortunately, we have almost no unemployment at the moment. Where do you think the government gets its finances from? From people who are working, from taxes. If we end up in a place where we were 10 years ago, we will have less money than we even have now.
And I agree with that part if we do end up there. But who's
but
to
you
say?
Can't
I
mean, break
okay, Blondie,
how can you how can you put in a party that is promising the sun, moon and stars and
no,
cannot
you know what,
Blondie, deliver?
I actually don't ever believe that I heard them promise the sun, moon and stars. All I actually
oh, yes,
believe,
they did.
What I heard, can I, right, do you know what I heard? I heard that they will start putting the people first. And the reason I believe that is because I experience it. I have experienced it the last few years.
Well, do you think, Rachel, sorry, Rachel, but do you really think that if they were in government, they'd be knocking on people's doors to help escort them to hospital,
yes.
hospital appointments?
Yes.
I very
yes.
much doubt it.
Yeah, I do. And do you know why I do? Do you know why I do?
Why?
Because when you spend time, and when you actually spend time and watch them what, put their efforts into people when there's no elections on, nothing to do with elections. When
yeah,
there's nothing to do with elections are years away. When elections are
because they weren't in government and they had the time to go around canvassing and looking for votes.
Okay.
Because that's what
about
they were doing,
what about the representatives that they send up when they can't get there? Because I promise you, Blahian, I promise you there's plenty of them in lots of communities. In lots of communities that are out there and they are doing stuff for people with people. That's what people want. I'm not joking you when I tell you I cried to a Fine Gael man or minister and our TD, sorry, to mm-hmm. Fine Gael TD, and I begged him, just give me some direction. And
why
all I would have taken for counselor? Someone in his position, all I would have taken for someone in his position and his know-how would have been a simple phone call.
Why didn't you go to your public health nurse? They're aware of everything
listen,
that's out there.
I went everywhere. I went down to the hospitals. I contacted the HSE. I contacted Chamber House. I contacted absolutely everyone, Citizens Advice, everyone.
Well,
no one was giving me direction. They were my last
resort. Whatever help you got, and I'm glad you got the help you needed, it was there.
Oh, no, listen, here's the thing. It is there, and that's what I said at the start. Because
but,
when people
but,
are in here putting positions of kids with... No, listen, I'm not punching that on Sinn Féin. What I said was, when people like me are put in positions where we're working day-to-day, one minute, next minute, I have a kid with disabilities, OK? And
mm-hmm.
I am literally... I mean, you get told nothing. And it comes from the top down because they're not training people right into these services and jobs. To, even nurses didn't know where to tell me to go for certain supports.
Well, I'm very
Do you know what I mean? And
that.
It wasn't... Sorry?
I'm very surprised at that.
No, and I was too. I was too. Trust me, I really was. But I have to say, you have no idea when someone is in my position, when someone just knocks on your door to say, how are you and your kids? You have no idea
understand.
What that means.
I can understand.
And you have no
what
idea what
means.
It means to be listened to. To be listened
I
to.
I can understand what that means, but I also don't think it's
yeah.
a good reason to vote in an inexperienced government
but it,
in
but
a very
but blind.
Oh, no, I do, because they are
the
actually
moment.
Walking the walk. And, they're not just talking the talk.
Okay, they're walking
and here's the thing, they're walking the walk before they've even talked it.
But it's in terms of your inexperience, Blahian, like, I don't think Tony Blair, when he became Prime Minister of the UK, I think his only experience was as a shadow cabinet spokesperson. I think it was on Home Affairs. You know, like...
Yeah, but he had a... He
you
had
go into
a
department with...
Blahian,
a lot of them go into this... A lot of them start off with no experience. A lot of them start off with no experience.
Yeah, but
they're
That's
in how
they a get party... It. Do you understand? They don't work alone as sole agents around the country. They're in a party that
well,
has
so are Sinn Féin members. So are
now,
Sinn Féin in
the
party. The
only other thing I want to say is we owe like something like 100 billion.
200, yeah.
Yeah.
200
yeah.
even. And that still has to be paid back with all the promises that Sinn Féin are. And they've never mentioned that. They've never said, oh, we owe all this money and we still have to pay it back. And we're going to do this, that and the other.
Listen, I genuinely believe they are going. And I think that I don't think they are promising the sun, moon and stars. I think they have. They will carry through with what they have promised. Is that they
well,
will
I wouldn't,
put
I wouldn't
people
like
first.
To bet my children and my grandchildren's future on it.
Well, I would. And do you know what? Can I tell you? I would bet my kids' future on it. And will I tell you why? When you have sat at someone that has actually looked through you and you can actually see that they don't care what you're saying to them, when you look at them and you walk away feeling so deflated that there's nothing there for your kids for the future, to go
well,
to someone that gives you that little bit of hope that, you know what, look, maybe some people do care. And I can tell you
like
now,
it.
Not just me and a lot of people, they care. They're not just walking the walk. they are talking the talk. They're out there walking the walk before a lot of this talking goes on. That's why I really do believe they will do what they will do.
You can walk the walk and talk the talk to get votes. But to get in government and to fulfil what you've promised is a whole different game altogether.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, I think they're going off their egos now. Because that's what's wrong.
I think
their egos have been hurt.
I think one thing that Leo didn't do that he should have done, he should have kept the electorate informed on televised programmes where he sat down and he said, we're doing this, we're doing this, and we're doing this. Instead of leaving it till now.
Well, in fairness, one of the reasons why Fine Gael were able to put out their main poster in the election was just a photograph of Leo Varadkar, not his name now, just a photograph of him and Fine Gael. One of the reasons they were able to do that is because he had been on television so much and people, he was instantly recognisable. But anyway, I take your point. Okay, 51551, stay there, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
At joe.rt.ie, Tim Crowley, sorry for holding you. Your point, please.
Thanks, Joe. Well, I suppose I run a Michael Collins Museum just outside of Clonakilty, and we're all the time talking about the history of the Civil War and the War of Independence and all of that. And for me, just my own personal opinion, I'd love to see Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil coming together to form a coalition. I think we've been influenced.
Well, they won't have enough numbers. Who else are you going to throw in?
Well, with the Greens or Independents or whatever will work. But I think we've been so influenced by our civil war since the foundation of our state and the bitterness between both sides. And now there's very little really between the two parties. I would just love to see them come together. And I think the shadow of our civil war could finally be lifted off the country. And we might kind of revert to what would be normal politics like most other European countries where you've kind of centred left.
What would you call this? I think it's back in 1972 we had a national coalition and Liam Cosgrave and then together with Brendan Corrish, and they put together this kind of 20-point plan. I remember 20 promises they made about what they would do over the few years. What would you call that? Was called the National Coalition, if my memory. But what would you call this coalition of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Well, I was thinking that this morning, and maybe it should be a reconciliation coalition or something. It's just that I think when you study the Civil War period and it was such a horrible time. So after the famine, really, it was the worst episode of our history, and it put us back decades. And I think really we could make a fresh start if both of those parties came together as part of a coalition.
Okay, a reconciliation coalition. Pádraig Harnett. Pádraig, good afternoon. You're in Kerry.
Hello, Joe. Yeah. Yeah, I was just listening to that lady talking about what Sinn Féin did for her, and that is what a lot of the independents do. I mean, the Healy Rays have been blacked for them for ages. Sinn Féin have a very good ground game, but it's a total difference when you get into government. And I think this election probably came one election too early for Sinn Féin. Mm-hmm. They probably weren't expecting it, and they would have rather defeat the number one opposition party. And then you would have seen, like that gentleman is talking about there, that split between the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and maybe the Greens running it, and a very strong left opposition, and then I think you could really have got things done because they would really be holding the government to account, while at the last time you had the confidence and supply and there wasn't really an opposition. So it's very interesting as well to see that, you know, people are looking now at voting for a candidate that did something for them, and that's probably what maybe Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and particularly Labour got away from, and that's what cost particularly Labour, you know, the votes where they're gone down so much. So it's a big difference being in opposition and being in government. So.
Okay, Daryl Cannon. Daryl, you voted for...
I voted for Sinn Féin, Joe.
Okay, tell us the background and why.
Well, Joe, I'm 27 years of age. I run my own business, fire alarm business, and I have absolutely no hope of owning my own home, and nor do any of my friends. You know, I'm up 7:30 in the morning to work until 7:00 in the evening, and there's no chance of me getting a house. Like, Joe, in 1990, the average house price was 4.3 times the average wage. It's now over 9 times the average wage, yet we can only borrow 3.5 times. So, you know, how is it possible for any of us to ever own our own home? And just another point is there's a Rebuilding Ireland home loan available. It's a government-backed loan. Mm-hmm. And very sneakily, a few weeks ago, the interest was bumped up from 2% to 2.75%. Now, they say they're trying to get people to be able to buy their own homes and make it affordable. Why have the government done that? You know, and that's Fine Gael's doing and their coalition with Fianna Fáil. You know, they were the ones who caused this mess. And people may say, yes, Sinn Féin are inexperienced, but how are they ever going to get experience if people don't give them the chance?
And in terms of who caused the mess, was it not a general... I know part of it was our own, obviously, but was it not a worldwide? Like, there was a mess in the UK, there was a mess in Germany, there was a mess in the States. It was a worldwide
Course it was, Joe, but the problem was things weren't being followed here. And if banks had been under more strict control and lending had been more strictly controlled, none of this would have been as bad. Like, in fairness, we got a really, really bad recession compared to other countries.
Okay, you're talking about regulation and the banks running
you know,
rings around the regulator.
People were allowed to run away. You know, you even see, Joe,
the
likes of apartment blocks that were put up in the boom, you know, now having to be rectified, fire standards and things like that, because it was complete oversight. They were allowed to get away with murder.
And you're an employer, Darrell. You have three employees. That's three families. Fair play. That's brilliant. IBEC would have put out, I haven't got the exact details of the statement here, but IBEC during the election were very sceptical of Sinn Féin's economic policies.
Well, Joe, to be honest, like, I have no problem paying tax. I have no problem doing my fair share. Like, you had a caller on yesterday saying young people are looking for handouts and free houses and things like that. I am happy to pay my part, and I'm happy to pay what I need to pay. But I want the services for it, and we're not getting that, Joe. The other thing is they've also said that they're going to keep the corporation tax rate as is.
At 12.5%, yeah.
At 12.5%. Like, I mean, there's multinationals in this country getting away with murder. Like, you know, we're fighting to give Apple back the $14 billion or whatever it is that the EU have said they owe us. Yes, we've people dying on the streets. I'll tell you just a very
briefly,
why
didn't Sinn Féin put the corporation tax up to 20%?
Well, we don't want to also get them out of the market completely.
Well, the tax rate for people earning over 140,000 was going to go to over 60% under Sinn Féin. Will go if they get into government to over 60%. Employers' PRSI is going to go to something like 15%.
And Joe, to be honest, if you're earning that kind of money, I don't see why a 5% tax on your earnings is a big issue. You know, I think everybody needs to pay their fair share.
Absolutely.
And the problem is, under Fine Gael and
so,
under
So if everyone needs to pay their fair share, which we all agree with, and we've been, the OECD say we're the most progressive tax system in the OECD, bar one, I think. But if everyone's paying their fair share, why are we only letting multinationals off of 12.5% on their profits, not on their income, on their profits, on their declared profits?
And I have to say, we're a small country. We need to be competitive at the same time.
Okay.
You know, you have the likes of AIB and different banks. They're getting away with paying any tax. I know, like, Leo Varadkar made the point that they pay dividends. But they pay dividends because we own them and they owe us the dividends. But that's nothing to do with the tax that they owe. You know, and the likes of Apple getting away with $14 billion. Like, I'll just tell you briefly a quick story. I was doing a part-time college course about 2 years ago. And it was on the weekends, and I was walking down Westmoreland Street at 8:30 on a Sunday morning, and I walked by a homeless man dead on the side of the street with just a blanket over him and a guard standing by him. There's people dying in the streets, Joe. And, you know, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been letting it happen for too long, letting the big guys get away with murder while everybody else is stuck and is forking out.
Okay. Just say I'm only asking the question. All the political parties agree that we should let the corporation tax stay at 12.5%, where tax on people working is all agree should go up. And I'm reading an article there this morning in the Irish Times from Task, the economic, I think it's funded partly, it's a think tank on social change, but I think it's partly funded by trade unions. But like they make the point, even those, let me see, public services, a couple have said, most people tend to believe that those on higher income should pay more. In other words, others should pay more. Why not take 100%? Why not take 100% off everyone over 140?
But Joe, like, I mean, what I'm saying is, if you're earning 140, you're not in a bad position.
No, but I'm saying I take that argument. Then why not take, as the Labour Party government did in the 60s, take 90%?
Well, I don't think that's fair either. I think, you know, people have got to that point. They've worked hard to get to that
Daryl, stay there. And best of luck. What's your business called? Give your business a plug, will you, Daryl
Peters? Cannon Fire Safety Group.
Karen, what do you do in Cannon Fire Safety Group?
We do fire alarm systems, emergency lighting and extinguishers.
Brilliant. And today,
all over Ireland.
And today, more than ever, Daryl, we'll remember the 39 years ago, the 48 children who were the 48 young people, the children who never came home, who died in the Stardust fire tragedy. Well done on your work, Daryl. I hope your company expands and keep it up. You're still a young man. Well done. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Kevin McGuire. Kevin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
I heard it was Michael McGrath, Fianna Fáil spokesperson on finance, on with Mary Wilson yesterday evening at Drive Time, and he said a lot of people who voted for Sinn Féin had voted for Fianna Fáil. We hope we can win their vote back again. What is your story, Kevin?
Well, my story is I voted for Sinn Féin,
mm-hmm.
and purely on the principle of an ex-president of the United States, Lyndon B. Johnson, who was not elected. He came to the office through
VP
the death of
JFK,
the late great John F. Kennedy. Yeah. However, he said of his adversaries, it's better to have them inside the tent looking out than outside the tent complaining in.
Yeah, but they were doing more than looking out. But you're being very helpful. Kevin, thank you so much. You've been very helpful in terms of the number of calls. You don't have to answer when we go upstairs. But Kevin, for your own clarity to the listeners, which is great anyway, but you're saying, when you say you voted Sinn Féin, but who do you usually vote for? Is it Sinn Féin?
Fianna Fáil,
okay. So why did you go from Fianna Fáil to Sinn Féin? And then follow it up, if you wish, with Michael McGrath's point that we hope to win you back again.
No, not at the moment anyway. But however, the reasoning simply for me is that this policy of exclusion, I totally disagree with. You've got to get them in to give them a taste of democracy and how it works. And the best position, I agree with your last contributor, would be the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party go into government, Sinn Féin and the others form a real opposition. And 5 years of that would absolutely turn this country around. It would then develop Sinn Féin more into the democratic in people's minds and be more acceptable. And this happened 100 years ago, or whenever, less than 100 years ago. So it's history repeating itself. But the policy of exclusion, it will be a disaster for this country. Here's an opportunity for change, which is the buzzword.
Right,
but
so
real change, have them in the opposition, a critical opposition, and the others in government.
Brilliant. So you're saying the earlier suggestion, I think it was Kevin, anyway, but I think a different Kevin, but I think he used the phrase a reconciliation coalition, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, you think, plus the Greens or whatever, you think, and I don't mean to dismiss the Greens in that, by putting it that way, but a reconciliation coalition, as he suggested, you think that would be disastrous for democracy?
No. What I said was that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens together to form a government.
Okay.
It would be a good government.
Yeah, but then Sinn Féin are left out.
No. Sinn Féin then go in and be... We haven't had an opposition party in this country for years. I mean, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael,
so you say
they alternate position, government, opposition, government, opposition.
So yeah, but I don't detect any... Maybe I'm wrong. I don't detect any appetite in Sinn Féin, all those young, energetic Sinn Féin new TDs, some of whom I don't even think had met each other, there's so many of them at this stage, and have been walking away for so many years. I didn't detect any propulsion from them that we want to go on to the opposition benches.
I think, being realistic, can you not visualise it? They in the pole position in opposition, holding this other government to account.
I can visualise anything at the moment. That's the way things are falling on the result. Noel, your point, please.
Yes, Joe. Thanks for having me. Joe, I'm an old age pensioner living alone. And I was brought up in tradition of voting Fine Gael.
Okay.
That's from my father's background.
Okay.
And as life went on, I drifted into Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, hopping about one to the other,
mm-hmm.
and getting nowhere. But as an old age pensioner now, in poor health, living alone, and can't get a social worker of any description to look in to see is there a breath left in my body.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. The governments are doing nothing. Now, for the past period of time, we have Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil amalgamated, more or less. And what are they doing for the people? Nothing. The big corporations are getting away with low tax rates and everything else when the small working basic pay person is crucified with taxes, rents, everything else.
And now, just on one step, you didn't tell. Who did you vote for this time, can I ask? You said you voted Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael all your life, your Fine Gael DNA.
Right.
But this time, do you want to tell me, 2020, tomorrow, last Saturday, do you want to tell me who you voted for?
Oh, yes, certainly. Now,
Are you going to tell me?
I am.
You have me on tenterhooks here, Nollig.
No, I'll tell you so.
Who?
The last few elections, the local elections or otherwise, I went Sinn Féin.
Okay. And why did you vote for them in the national election last Saturday?
I voted so because the country, I think, needs change at the moment.
Okay.
And let's say, there's another reason, and your previous speaker said it, and that was... if you don't give some party the opportunity of proving themselves, there's no opposition. So if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil amalgamate again, we are left in the same boat and without a paddle. And Sinn Féin should be given a chance. Now, I'll not mention names, Joe, but you heard it, I'm sure, yourself, that there was a Fianna Fáil member got a low vote and disappointed, natural enough, said he wouldn't pull or work with Sinn Féin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the people of the country that should be dictating who runs the country and who doesn't. And I'll tell you, Joe, you're okay. No, just throw someone at the door, Joe.
Okay. Well, it's not a social worker anyway. We know that now.
No, it's not.
If it is, they're on the ball. If there is, it's Sinn Féin are working quick.
I'll tell you, Joe. No, it's not a social worker.
Okay.
Tell
them to come in and brand the kettle.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Joe. Now, the way it is...
So you're saying...
suggestion, to make it brief, I suppose, Joe.
Okay.
My suggestion is to call elections again.
Okay.
And every candidate, every politician who wishes to be a candidate,
But the underlying point is you think everyone should be open to coalescing with others. No, nothing should be off the table if they can come to a deal.
That's right.
Okay.
Now,
and Noel, can I ask you how long are you living on your own?
Well, I'm living all my life because I never got married.
Okay.
There was a tragic story to that.
Okay.
You know, and I never got married, but I've...
You haven't got married yet.
Oh, no. Well, this is Valentine's Day. There might be a chance yet.
Come here. Will I try and get you a ticket for the Late Show tonight, Noel?
You may.
Listen, will you mind yourself? I hope that was a friend calling at the door, was it?
It was.
Isn't that fantastic?
Anyway, Joe, I'll just finish. That is, get all politicians to enter an election and let the people choose the best out of the whole lot of them and form a national party.
Okay. Well, we were doing a bit of that the other day with Gov Ireland or Love Ireland, wherever we were calling it. Okay. Noel, mind yourself and have a nice afternoon.
I will indeed. I'll get the kettle on.
And above all, you sound as if you're in great fettle and good health. Hopefully you are. Hopefully you are.
Good man. No.
Slán nullig, slán go fóill.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Back Monday at 1:45. Today's producer was Tara Lockery Grant. The series producer is Fergus Sweeney. Lorley Davis is the BCO, and Richie Byrne is the researcher. And Ray Darcy is next.